following seven words are a sentence. Your promise. They form a commitment. And they can forge a lifelong bond. The words are, I will always be there for you. A phrase a parent says to a child, hopefully many times over. And what more could a child want to hear but, I will always be there for you. A couple dating. The dating turns deeper towards an engagement. Life changes when one says to the other, I will always be there for you. We suffer an illness that puts us out of work, in hospital, in home care for a long time, for weeks on end. And a spouse or a partner or a son or a daughter or a friend says to us, I will always be there for you. When a terminal illness has us face life and death and the end of our days sooner than expected, life changes when a spouse or a partner or a son or a daughter or a friend says, I will always be there for you. An aging parent, terrified about the latter years, forcing isolation and the lack of socialization and control. No more spouse. But a child or a friend says, I will always be there for you. That phrase is in fact what God says to us again and again, to his chosen people, and every time we hear it to us, as in tonight's first reading. In one translation of tonight's first reading, Moses sounds like the caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland, who asked, who are you? Who is God? And God says, I am who am. It sounds very flat, but it's a question all of us ask in our lives. Who is God for you? And that I am who am is, I will always be there for you. It also means I will totally always be with you. Or I'm always committed to you. I am also, if you noticed, is a verb. Reminds me about growing up Catholic in Mount Vernon, New York, in a second generation Irish family. My grandparents would rarely say yes or no. If you ask them a question, for example, are you going to the 5:30 Mass tonight? They would say, I am. Good followers of St. John and the Book of Exodus. I am is a verb. It means God will always act and do and renew and recreate us. That's what God is doing. That's who God is. I will always act on your behalf. And finally, I am who am means we believe in the God of relationships. That phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which of course is the patriarchy of the time. It means the God of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel. However, be careful about inclusivity. I wrote a book 3 years ago and sent it to the publisher, and I was talking about the sacrifice that Abraham and Sarah made to sacrifice Isaac. And the female editor, a friend of mine, put in the margin, when I said Abraham and Sarah, she said, Sarah had nothing to do with it. Okay. Relatedness, relationship, we're called by name, and our names take the place of the patriarchs. Who is God? In the seminary, I read a book by a Jesuit, John Courtney Murray, titled The Problem of God. And the contents of this modest book were spectacular, changed the way I thought about God. Turns out that the chapters began as three talks he gave at Yale Chapel of St. Thomas More in 1962. The book came out in 1964. A few years ago, it was still in print and was the best-selling book Yale University ever had. As an author, I envy him. Because our royalties are not like James Patterson or Donna Leon. The equivalent of being a dancer in Cats. Lifelong income. But his point is, God is always there for us, and that's who God is, the God of the Bible and the God of our Catholic faith and the God we worship this evening. I will always be there for you. I am. I am. And John takes that up, and many times in his gospel says, I am so-and-so, defining who God is. Let me offer five briefly. I am the light of the world. I don't think any of us is sad that Eastern Daylight Time came and we have a brilliant sunset this evening. Earlier, older I get, lighter is better. And then, of course, there's the dark night of the soul, talked about by Spanish mystics, or Mother Teresa, who said she didn't believe for 33 years. Mother Teresa. There can be a darkness in our spiritual life that needs to be heard. It needs to be here. I am the light of the world. And then again, there's the sadness of depression. And people say, I feel like I'm in a dark tunnel, and all I want to see is a candle flickering at the end to get me through. I am the light of the world. Number two, I am the Good Shepherd. For many of us in the Catholic Church, we call bishops shepherds, and they have disappointed us incredibly. Rather than serving the flock, they serve themselves. But in the end, John's Gospel says there is one Good Shepherd, and we need to winnow out the others. Revealed to have the qualities of leadership and virtue. One good shepherd. And while I'm at it, I want to say something about the fact that sometimes in poetry and music and teaching and preaching, we're called sheep. My dear friends, the Bible never calls us sheep. The Catholic faith never calls us sheep. It calls the Good Shepherd, whose voice we hear, but we are invited to respond as intelligent, articulate, creative, and responsible human beings. We are not sheep. I feel that strongly. But because there are too many bad shepherds, we need to hear there is a good shepherd, and that shepherd will lead us to everlasting life. Third, I am the way. Through the pathways and choices of life, I am the way, Christ is the way, and Christ is the gospel, the book that evaluates life. Good to know I am the way through life. More recently, the scandal about college admissions have told us what many of us have known for a long time. Who pays how much to rig the system? The Planned Studio Theater closing tomorrow is called Admissions. It's about the parents' goal for the son to get into Yale. The son didn't care. The family were embarrassed because he got into Middlebury. But is the best school the only goal in life? The goal in life is not the best school. It's how we train ourselves to live a good life. There's a caution, I think, about Catholic higher education, which I've been for 30 years, I'm in, that we allow ourselves to be evaluated as Catholic schools the way any other school is going to be evaluated, according to success, measurables, money, job, and prestige. I get it, US News, Newsweek, I get it. But we have failed if Catholic schools don't measure themselves also on Catholic values of the common good, the dignity of every living person, the importance of prayer and sacraments, serving others, and yes, learning how to die. Did he just say die? Last I checked, we all do that. Our schools should train us to do that as much as measuring us against Middlebury, Yale, and Bucknell. For I am the vine, you are the branches. This means we belong to each other. We're in this together. We're not rugged individuals. And that's a consolation, especially in this time when some of us can feel very restless about many things in life, about the shift in world alliances in which we live. Our government seems to be acting in a new way for many of us, because our church has allowed young people to be hurt. We feel restless, but the God we believe in says we're in this together. No one is alone. And finally, I am the living bread come down from heaven. I am. Manna came each day, but Jesus, the living bread, comes every day and constantly because of his sacrifice to give us life. I am who am is at this altar. I am there for you is at this altar. I recreate you is at this altar. This living bread, Moses' manna faded away. This bread never goes away. And what do we do tonight at this church? Hear scriptures, are fed on word and sacrament to live what we celebrate in sacrifice for others. And might I suggest, we begin with seven words. I will always be there for you.